הרי זה בחזקה שבו בהגושה כמו שביין. What does that mean? This is what the Gemara, this is our Gemara. Our Gemara means she's bodka ba'ed. So the bedikat ed, bodka. So what do we say? She thinks what? She thinks that it was lower gish. What do you mean lower gish? She felt something when she did the check. It means she attributes whatever she felt to what? הרי זה בחזקת שבו בהגושו כמו שביין. What does that mean? This is what the Gemara, this is our Gemara. Our Gemara means she's bodka ba'ed. So the bedikat ed, bodka. So what do we say? She thinks what? She thinks that it was lower gish. What do you mean lower gish? Felt something when she did the check. If it's she attributes whatever she felt to what? To the A. And she says, lower gishada. And we turn around and we're the machmirim. The bezin is machmir. And the bezin says, no lady, you think you only felt the A. You made a mistake. You really fell down. And if you really fell down, why? Because he stood down. And we have a chazaka that down is bar aggression. When? What chazaka? Chazaka, I can only point out, only if the down is seen inside. And there's a possibility of the aid having caused the hargosh. So then we say it must have been hargosh's dam, and she mixed it up with hargosh's aid. So the Rambam, says the Rabbi Yonasan, it holds like the Trumas Adeshen, and they are called like the Sada Homer, the Perish Hashani, which we referred to last time, and Rashi and the Rami Rutenberg and the Hargosh Mayanis seem to go Lukula, like the first interpretation. This is quite a big machlo, with the big Adali Olam on both sides of the issue over here. Rabbi Yonasan also quotes our Tosis and our Daf, the second Tosis, which he maintains is a Raya Lechumra. But I'm not going to just letting you know if you want to look it up. We have getting access to the Hilchos Nidah Mikvaot HaSholem with more than 40 Mepharshim. So one of the Mepharshim there is the Tiferet Yisrael. The very first paragraph is about this issue. We'll try to discuss it later on. Oh. But the big Machlok. Big Machlok is over this issue. We have to discuss a very important problem. And that is, if you looked in the Ma'ar Mekaymis, you notice that there's a fundamental distinction between a kesem, which means our parak, or a kesem, a same, and what we call a bedik. A bedik literally means a check. If you do a bedik, then the Gemara puts it, Kilu Tipas Dam Gechardel, the tiniest little spot. She is a Tamea, it says in Shulchan Aruch, no matter what, any size. And then no distinction is made across the Vedika to serve between one color and another color, as in Kabbal Tumah. But no distinctions are made. When it comes to a Ketem, I don't know how much of the Mamma Thomas you saw, there are three fundamental kulus when it comes to a Ketem. One, less than a Kegritva, a certain size. We say maybe it came from a bug, from a color. Two, if it's a color kind of a garment. And three, if the garment or other item is not a kabbal tum. It's all based on the Gemara and our parent. So the question is, what's the difference between a bedika and a kesem? Why by a bedika do all these kulas not apply? Yes? What color the garment is? I mean, I said it wrong. What kind of, there's no difference what color the garment is. Even if the garment is blue or yellow, as far as the bedikah is concerned, there's no distinction. The question is, what is it? So the acronym, the Shidrei Tara, the Chavazat, all go with the what we call the second shot, and they say like this. It's Pashit. Because our Gemara tells us that if you do a bedikah with an A, what are we afraid about? We're afraid that it was a Hargosh. You didn't realize it was a Hargosh and stuff, but in reality it was a Hargosh and stuff. So therefore, the Chavazdah, the Tiretar explains that if a woman does a bedikah, it's a shot of a Doraisa, because it's a Hargosha. When it comes to Doraisa, you can't have any coolers. But the difference, what size it is, there's no distinction between Doraisa. But Doraisa is the time of a Kolshu. What cute kid, what color the garment is, and what the Kabbalatum is, that's ridiculous. The shot of a Doraisa. So whenever there's a bedikah's aid, there's a Doraisa, why? I shouldn't feel any dam. What's the answer? They are like the second shot, like the Trumas Adeshin's shot and the Rambam's shot, that if she feels Agosha's aid, we say no. We mix it up. It's Agosha's dam. And therefore it's a Doraisa. And therefore it's a Doraisa, he cannot have any coolers. Whereas, by contrast, if she saw it, there was some dam on her undergarment, so then there was no hagasha for sure. So then it's only a shayla midoraita, she's tahara legamrei. Is that what the Gemara says? I think the bottom line is going to say is that tumah derabbanan mishum ksam. So tumah derabbanan heimamru beheimamru, and they get various coolers. If it's amakavol tumah, if it's tzavua, less than a grit, etc. This is the classical akron who use this interpretation. One second. And they add, that's going to contain the fine of bedikas. Of bedikas only if it's what they call ba'omek, based on the Raman's lashon, the pnim beprozdar, a deep bedika. Why deep into the bad? Why does it have to be deep? It has to be so deep that there's pressure on the gufa isha, so this pressure could possibly be confused with our gushes now. But if they explain, it's purely what they call a kinuach bachut, the flush they use. Kinuach bachut, so a little wiping on the outside, which is important halacha lemaisa, when we'll go to the bathroom. Just for hygienic reasons, just a wiping on the outside. So the post can say, the chavadat, the retar, other posts can say, that's not a bedika. There's no way you can confuse that with any kind of a hargosha. There was nothing inserted in any way. And therefore, that has the status of a kesher. And the coolest of someone would apply to that kind of a situation. This is the classical way which the Akronim, the Chavasat, the Ritar, Babor, Machreim, all learn this chapter. This is predicated on one assumption. What assumption is it predicated upon? The second interpretation we kept called. From Shadow Truma Tadesh and the Rambam, that the Gemara means that she feels A, she feels Neraglayim or Shamesh, and we go ahead and say maybe you mix it up with our Gosha's Dar. It was really our Gosha's Dar. Right? Question?
Oh,
let me state the question and then maybe it'll clarify your question too. But, what did the first shot say? The first shot said the parish of Pasha, what they call it. The first shot says that what? That if she feels dam, so we're going to bend all the back and try to be naked for her. That Hagosh is dam, she knows really Hagosh is dam. It was really Eid or Shamish or it was Meraglai. But that's the Gemara means. But if she didn't feel any doubt, no way we're going to start making converse and saying, well, maybe you felt that. No, there's no muck without the Gemara. We don't say that. That being the case, the problem will become if the woman checks herself with an A, she checks herself with an A, and she sees a pipas dam, a minuscule amount of dam. So what do we say? We all know that then she's asura. Why? Why is she asura? Why is this in any way different when she sees a tipas dam on an undergarment? What's the difference for kids to phrase it very starkly? What's the difference between a bedika and a kesher? The classical we brought to explain the difference on what basis that by bedika is a shadow of a doraisa because of hagoshas A, with which we will say maybe we do that hagoshas dam. That assumes the second shot. But going to the first shot, what are you going to say? This is a very powerful question. It's a powerful question. You understand the question? Well, I wish everyone understands the question. Oh. So, it would seem, based on this very powerful question, that we have to say that these two Lashonos, we'll go again, I can't finish the answer to this question today, because there are too many facts to be discussed, but preliminarily, perhaps we should say that the machlokes, the two pshatim which we suggest, is the machlokes in the shadow of the right. Because our whole sugya, the entire new design of the base, we took very careful pains on Friday, so only talk about din of the right. The entire, see, look at that. The word of the rabbanon is the first word of the chesam adam. That's what the word of the rabbanon. So you don't have to count them. It tells you, look here, but that doesn't count. So the whole sugya here is talk about the right. The word of the rabbanon is the first word of the chesam adam. So then Zion is talking about the rices. You can assume the first shot, the parish of Posh. What is the parish of Posh saying to us that what? If this woman has no Hargosha's Dam, we're not going to go ahead and say she's got Hargosha's Dam. No way. That's within the rice, the rice level. But perhaps on a Rabbonan Dikal level, perhaps the Rabbonan says that if she has this kind of Hargosha, namely, Hargosha Shamish, Hargosha aid, and Hagoshet Meraglayim, if she had one of these three Hagoshet and she saw them, we, on a Derabbanan level, will say, hey, there's a Hagoshet, a Suffolk Hagoshet over here, and it's a, there's a little bit of dam. We are going to be Machmar on a Derabbanan level. So it could be, according to this interpretation, that the entire distinction between a Bedika, and I'm not discussing a regular period. A regular period, actually, a monthly period, is a Vada Hagosha, significant Hagosha, whatever Hagosha means. I'm talking about a Bedika. The difference between a Bedika and a what? And a Kester might be only throughout bottom level. In other words, Midoraisa Bedika is a Kester. No difference, no Hagosha. But the Rabbanan said that since there's a Bedika and there's a possibility that Bedika is a, what maybe it's some kind of a confusion. So the second shot we called of the 2 months of Neshan Rambam, that said that was in the right, that she did something which might be confused with the Bedika Hagoshah Zahm, even though she says there's no Hagoshah Zahm with the Torah's Machmer on her. And according to the first shot might have to agree with the second shot on the Rabbonim the Galeva. That the Rabbonim will Machmer on her, that there should be a status of Isis. With this we could say a possible idea, or be a possible that she thought so. You saw perhaps the sugi of Pesamim, a fundamental machlokes in Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says that the whole chumrah of Pesamim, the top Rashi, on the Testament Aleph, for the Rabbanan, Dilma Argusha V'Lav Adav. Maybe she had a gosh, she didn't realize it. Rabbanan made it to Shukzeir. Tosfos denied that, there's no such thing. We never find any declared Rabbanon of Dilma Argus of Alav Adash. But Tosfos Pshat, no. Some of me, even though we know for sure, there's no doubt about it, there's no Argosha, but she's a Surah of the Rabbanon anyway. So that's the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos over here. So it occurred to me, maybe it's the Machlokas that she tells us. Tell you what. So we suggested before on the Zainab and Beis that the Rashi and Tosfos are arguing about these two Pshat. Because Rashi is doing like a Perish of Pshat, like the first Pshat. And Tosis, well, we haven't gotten into the details yet, I just alluded to you. Told you, Rabbi Yonatan Abishan said that Tosis, the second Tosis learned, like the second interpretation, the Kumadic interpretation. How does it say like this? Rashi has to say, based on our kasha before, this is the Deacon Summit, Rashi must admit that there exists the Chumra Midi Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon are worried that maybe there's a Hargosha. So there's a case where the Torah is not worried about Hargosha, and the Rabbanan all worried about Hargosha. That's the case of the Bedik. In that case, there's no Kulis. But the Rabbanan is the one who instituted it. So one could say that Summer is an extension of that Summer with the Rabbanan. Maybe you can explain. There's a Kumar the Rabbanan number one, that if she has Hargosha's A, the Torah would say she's Tahoru. So she's Luteris. And the Chacham say, if she feels Hargosha's A, that we're afraid she made a mistake, it's confused with Hagoshah's Dam, that's a Chumrah b'Derabbanan, right? So it stands to reason. That's a Chumrah of Ksamim, which is a Chumrah, even though she felt nothing, zero, might also be along those lines, perhaps. That even though she felt zero, but we have already a precedent for a Chumrah Sachamim, Dilma Arbisha, and she mixed it up. So maybe Rashi holds that there could be even a Chumrah where she felt zero, that Chacham were also afraid that maybe she felt something and she just forgot about it entirely. Perhaps. With the court of the Tosis, there's no precedent for such a Xerah de Rabbanon. If it's a case where she or Gisha is a Hagosha's aid, Lefi Tosis, what kind of a din is that? What kind of level din is that? Is what? That's a din d'oraisa. A din d'oraisa. We don't find anywhere any precedent that Chachamah should go start making Xerahs, so maybe she felt and she mixed it up. Din d'oraisa. So the din de Rabbanon is the son of the Tosis, which is more magical to assume. And the nature of the thing is, even though we know for sure it is not Hargosha, still Rabbanu will go with Tame anyway. That's what entered my mind, the possibility that Rashi and Tosfos may be Lishi Tosfos. Perhaps, according to this interpretation. Perhaps, think about it. If you haven't slung it up, let me know. Oh. Well, let's get back over here. What are they fighting about? These two Perushim, what are they arguing about? What is the core of this Machlokas? Such a fundamental Machlokas. What are they fighting about? Seems to me, but they're fighting about the following. We mentioned on Friday, at the end of the year, the famous Sidrei Tara. For the Sidrei Tara, there's two dinners. One is a din of the Bitsara, Shatakish Bitsara. And one is the second din, she said, Dambalo Kesef. Dama lo ketam, she likens to what? The mom's a vadai, the mom's a suffix. The Torah has to be vadai da, but any suffix, the Torah says that although ordinarily it's fake of the rights of the chumra, here it's fake of the rights of the kul. Perhaps we can understand the fundamental machlokas over here between the Rishonim in the following way. The Perish HaPashut will learn like this. What do you mean, Dam Velo Ketzem? Dam Velo Ketzem means a Chidush Niflo. That in order to become Tumea, neither the right has to be a Vados. If there's no Vados as to whether it's Dam or not, there is Dam Mako. We're not sure whether Dam is an Amoko or an Amako. The Torah is Matai. Says the Perish HaPashut, the first track. Wait a minute. Dam is the Tame. That's an oversimplification. Dam is only mitameh when? Behagosha. So when the Torah says dam velo ketzem, what's the Torah saying? It has, in order that it should be tameh midorayis, what do you have to have? It has to be vadai dam and vadai hagosha. That's chatting there at the cost of dam velo ketzem. It's built up on the first one. First, if I didn't have a psoro, I have to have hagosha. And then dam velo ketzem has to be a vadai and not a suffix. Not only has to be the body that the dam comes in our mocha, but has to be the body that has our gosha. If it's a suffix our gosha, then we can say it's also a suffix. So just like if it's a suffix when the dam comes in the mocha or from a maka, it's the horror of the right, so we don't say it's fake aluchum as we would ordinarily say. That's exerts the custom of dam below kesa. So in a similar way, we can say the dam comes to shum in our mocha, but there's a suffix here, gisha or lower gisha. So we do not say it's fake of the right of the chumra, rather we say no. Dam velo kesem means dam bibsara vadai lo bibsara safek. It has to be a vadai, has to be vadai v'hagosha. The dam vadai and dam means v'hagosha. It has to be dam vadai. Once the Torah defines dam as being v'hagosha, so the both fakers are the same. Safek dam or safek hagosha, the same thing. Because you're lacking indispensable condition for tumah d'oraisa. That's the first shot. With the second shot, there's nothing to do with it. Dam below kesem should be taken in a literal sense. Don't make any extensions. Dam below kesem only means it has to be dam and not a mak. The mak is a kesem, a wound. The wound is not dam at all. But if we know for a fact that the dam comes from the mocha, and it's only a shayla, is there hagosha or is there not a hagosha? That was never excluded by the pasuk of dam below kesem. Dam below kesem only means that you have to make sure the dam comes from the mocha. But you don't have to be sure that comes by Hargosha. So Safik Hargosha, like any other Sveik of the Raisa, and we go to the Chumra. It could be a fundamental interpretation. Again, I'm using the Sidrei Taras, Yeras HaKosov, to help me out over here. He was ready Mechadish, and according to some Mephorosh, he thought that it's a new Yeras HaKosov over here, Vada Evelot Safik. Assuming that he's correct, we can then have a subsequent Machlaikis. Is this Vada Evelot Safik only as far as the Dabit itself is concerned? Well, no, dam with the hagosha, dishkin dam, not dam. And therefore the same dam vade, the hagosha suffix is again dam below kesem. It's again excluded from that same post. This could be the machlokes between the two fundamental interpretations in the sugya, here and after the zayin. Yes?
Yes, according to the first again,
why
do you need two
drushes? No, of course you need two drushes. First you have to establish you need hagosha. That's not Hagosha. If you wouldn't know Hagosha, you wouldn't know anything about Hagosha. Then you have Dam below Kesem, which tells you a double Chiddush in effect. One, that if you're not sure the Dam comes from the Mokar at all, she's Tahara with the Raisa. And two, even if you know it comes from the Mokar, but you're not sure that it's Hagosha, it's also Tahara with the Raisa. And that's not, you know, I the Kasha, I had on two drushes in the same Pesach, I've Kasha before. No, it's the same thing. Because Dam, Shabbat, but the Hagosha is Nishkan Dam. So Dam below Kesem is built up on the Pesach of same thing, because Dam and Hamakla and Dam Beli Hargosha are both Torah Midaraisa. So therefore, they're both excluded by Dam below Kesem. This is how I want the Lemshat here in the Sugi. Oh. This being the case, we could perhaps link this Shiloh over here with that which we discussed on Friday as well. And that is, we quoted the famous Ran, the famous Chiddush Haran. The Chiddush Haran asked the Kasha, how do you derive two dinim from the same pasuk? We have to get shas. You can't do that. Against the previous law, the Gemara said, what do you do with this? How can you lose this pasuk din A? You learn it from, you learn, use the pasuk from B. From B. So my answer is, no, it's talking, we learn B and C from the same pasuk. So you should have stopped at the beginning. I mean, that is a tremendous kind. The right answer, kind. So what did the right answer? What was the right answer? The right answer, no. There's only a total of, I mean, total of two dinim, only one dinim should learn from Bibsara. But love Shvira, love Chaticha is exactly the same thing as Bar Gosha. Why do we say that? That since a whole thing came out, the Dam came out, the Shvira came out, the Chaticha came out, everything came out. And there was Bar Gosha. But the Hargasha is some kind of a funny Hargasha, because it's not a Hargasha of Dam alone. The Hargasha comes from the Shvira and the Chaticha as well. So therefore we say that the Dam will attribute the Hargasha to the what? To the Shvira and the Chaticha. And the Mela will say that she's Tahara. Why? Not because there's brand new Gzeres HaKadzim of what? Below the Shvira, below the Chaticha. No, there's only one problem. Ipsara Hashataka, Ipsara. And then as an extension of that, what do we have? We have a lova shvir, a lova chaticha, that we say that there's no hargosha's dam. And even if she'll maybe, you want to extend it perhaps, maybe even if she'll say that she felt him dam, we'll say, no, that was hargosha's shvir of a chaticha. It's all one big thing. This is how the Ran explains. So the achronim tumul is the Ran, right? The Sidrei Tara doesn't like this Ran at all. That's not the Ran at all. But yet the Kasha, if you don't have the Ran, what do you do with the Ran's Kasha? The Ran has a tremendous Kasha over here. I mean, how do you learn from the two different from the same puzzle? So both show me the Tos of the Rosh, and I've called Fala from a day where this Gemara is found, and it has a Terek. This is what, there are three drushes, right? Vibisara. There's the word Basar, Bisar, Beis, Beis, Sin, Reish, Hey, five letters. So Basar is the Sharish, that's one drusha. And the Beis is another drusha. And the hay is the third rush. Vibhi Sarah. That's the rush says, and if I file for it, it can happen to your Gemara. Tell us the rush. It's printed. And Chafal for the bay. Take a look at what he says. The Tzarkla with the Kula Shamina Mina Mimir the Hey Shamina and the Mutish Vaver. Umi Beit Shamina and Shimitamish and Kibachut. And the Bosar Ashtagash of Sar. Three different rushes. What do you see from the rush? If we are willing to accept our extension, it'll come out to be very fascinating. But it could be, as again a possibility, that this is also linked to the same controversy. Listen to me very carefully. We start with two fundamentally different pshat in the sugi. How do you approach the sugi? Is the pshat that she fell down, or we're trying to say it's not that? Well, no. She fell an aid. We're going to try to say, no, it really is not. That's what we call the first pshat and the second pshat, respectively. And we said that the most fundamental shayla is the suffik argosh. Suffik argosh, we say the chorma, we say the kula, based on the sidrei tara, dabal okesem, etc. So perhaps, I want to say this for sure, we mentioned a little bit on Friday, perhaps we could say that's the machlokes, the Rosh and the Ran. The Ran is like the parish of Pasha. The Ran holds that in order to be to mamid, the rise in argosh, vada, ivla argosh, and suffik. So whenever there's an argosh, which is mixed up, with Dan, with Shvir, with Chaticha, and you don't know exactly sure where, what's causing what. So then the Torah is telling you, that's part of the same drasha of Bibsara, they need a Hagosh of Adois. And when you have Shvir with Chaticha, there's no Hagosh of Adois. But the Rosh, who holds no. The Rosh holds, we know you have to have Hagosh of it, we need an extra drasha for Lo Bishvilo B'Chaticha. Why didn't he say Alamdis? Why didn't he say that the Ran, why didn't he say the Ran's Alamdis? Why didn't he say the Ran? Attributed the Hargosha to what? To the Shvir of the Chaticha. The answer is, you can't be sure. It's just a whole big blob in there. You're not sure. So the Rosh would hold, you couldn't, that wouldn't be a cooler. Why? Because we say Tzveik and the right of the Chumra. That's the second shot. And there has to be a special nuk, there's a custom with a beige, with a hay. All kinds of different drushes to tell you that a nuk din of Lov Shvir of the Chaticha. But not an extension of the din of Hargosha. It's a nuk din. From all this would be, what if a woman, we mentioned a little bit last time, a woman who sees Lecha, the case which is given by the Sidrei Tara. Lecha, mucus. Lecha levana, a light color, clear color mucus. And... how do we treat this ria? As a ria by argosha, or the ria b'li argosha? So the Sidrei Tara goes from his Rebbe? The Shev Yaakov. Shev Yaakov is the... He wrote the whole kibbutz on this page, on this daf. He was a champion here. On this Amud Gemara, he wrote so many chidushim nifloyim, which is... everyone talks about it. I don't know what happened before him. I don't understand what happened before the Shev Yaakov. He didn't live all that long ago. I don't know what happened before him. Every chidush and every deer that comes from Shev Yaakov. So the Shev Yaakov said in that case, she's to hold it. As long as the kesser is less than the gris, so she's to hold it, like a real b'liagosh. Ah, but she felt. She goes to the rabbi, I felt this terrible, this whole thing coming out. The answer is, so what? The Ran already said, Shav Yaakov quotes from the Ran. The Ran says that if you have a shir v'chaticha, we attribute that gosh to that and not to the daf. So too, you have lecha levon, that was back of daf. So the lecha is what caused our gosha, and the daf is considered daf b'li our gosha. So then if some of it is less than the gris, it's mutter. And if the retire is totally wrong. The retire says the Ran is shver, it's against all the Gemaras, it can't be. After all, it should be the Rabbanon at least, he says, and after a bunch of other kashrus like the Ran, and therefore he says, in this kind of a situation, we would have to say that, assuming that the Lecha was Be Hagosha, we'll come to that later, then we would say that the Hagosha is including them both, the Lecha and the Dam, and the Dam is viewed as Dam Be Hagosha, not Dam Beli Hagosha, and therefore whatever Chumra would apply to Hagosha would apply to this situation. I'm being vague on purpose, because we haven't gotten to the problem yet. But again, it's the same yourself. I should mention this in passing. The Sidrei Tara asked, if you saw the Sidrei Tara, yes, against the Ran, that the... you probably didn't see the Sidrei Tara. I didn't put it on the Maromah Kamos. The Sidrei Tara is in Simon Kuf Sadi, Siv Kotten Alf. Should have been. They're going to be contributing the whole subject to the list. Simon Kuf Sadi, Siv Kotten Alf, he makes his point. He says that we go against the Ran. He refers to back what he said earlier in Kuf Peches and a long tshuva against the Ran. But I just wanted to make one point about it. The question of Shandig Mor Chofal. He says, for example, that the Retara says that if you held like the Ran, just like we have a klal, a Riyah below Hagosha is Tumeyah Medir Rabbanon, so Riyah B'Shir V'Chadir should also be Tumeyah Medir Rabbanon. That's what it is. It's not a new din. And we don't find it that way. We don't find such a gzeirah. That title is no cash at all because it's the Rabbanan and hey, the Gazru Gazru, hey, the Lo Gazru Lo Gazru. They can do whatever they want. But the Chochmas Bitzalel, never heard of that, just bring a new one on. Chochmas Bitzalel was Rabbi Bitzalel Ranchberg. He's the one that he has on the side of the Gemara, the old Shas. He wrote a fantastic sefer in the Sechta Nita. Chochmas Bitzalel, which is reprinted. And he said, on the contrary, the Gemara Chofal was a riot brewer to the Ram. And he says it for the following reason. He says, our Gemara says Tarta Shmavina. Right? So he didn't know about the Rush. He didn't know about Tosa Rush. He said, Tarta Shmavina is a big Docha. No, so that he says to the Akron, after we show him, I go on the Ran, they'll say that he is stuck with a Docha Teres, Tarta Shmavina. But in Chaf Aleph, the Gemara says Tarta Shmavina without any Docha. One of them doesn't squeeze in over here like the Gemara is over here. And therefore he says, Chaf Aleph would be a Raya Barura. To the Ran, not against one. You give a look inside, you'll see. Of course, in reality, it's no Raya, because now we have the Tosa Rush printed. He didn't have Tosa Rush. Tosa Rush got out with the bays and the hay, so the whole pshat, it's a new pshat of Tadish Ramina. So then with that Raya would fall off. In any event, let me go back over here. We have a fundamental shadow of Imachlok gets over here. So the Retar, the Shav Yaakov, is the Ran right, or is the Ran wrong? Oh, yes, sir.
One word.
I have one problem with it. You can see the pasuk leading
out
for
the
Olkin. You see the pasuk saying
the butter. But you can't see the pasuk saying the butter. There's
no. It's not
the
extra,
is that?
Right.
Good catch.
Not extra,
but
grammatically,
you
have
to have it there. Huh? I guess that's why the Ran didn't like the Rosh Hashanah. I have to rush. How would have to have some creative grammar, whatever that was. Got to do. Well, yes.
Okay. Once on the size of the Kippah Dalet, the seeds of the water.
Yeah, so.
So didn't we get that amount because it could be attributed to a Mahola?
Right.
But how could it possibly have a Mahola if it's coming from the Tzara Bayis? And I don't understand how that would be applicable in this case.
Good question.
And my second question is back way back. Does that mean if the people according to the second Shita, which is that they're going to the Kumra, right. Do they say that you have to do the BKF for every time?
Okay, the second question is also a good question. Both the questions are good. The first one I'll postpone until we get to the sugya of summit, which will not be too long. The second question I'll answer right away, the answer is no, there's no chiyuv in bedika. There's no chiyuv in bedika. True, the Maharam, the Rutenberg explained there's no chiyuv in bedika based on the first shot. So he has a very good question, that if the second shot is right, I mean, the Maharam almost implied that according to the second shot, there will be a chiyuv of bedika. The answer is that's not so. And this may be linked to a shadow that comes to much later on. Is there a need to, I'll talk about it a little bit now. It could be there's certain things that might be confused with the Hargosha, that if it happens enough times, say three times for example, it happens three times, and it's checked three times and there's no doubt, then there's no need to check anymore. I'll give an example. You mentioned before about Lecha, from Mucus, Lecha Levana. Clear mucus. But there are some achronim who maintain, you may have seen in Marma Comas, if a woman has kisteira lecha, so what she can do is she always thinks maybe it's down. So the person says they check herself three times when she has a sensation of the mucus. And each of the three times there's no down at all. So from that point on, she could just say, I should not look here to check anymore. Okay? So one could similarly argue, when it comes to Tashmish, if she would check herself three times to make sure that there's nothing, there's no damach matashmish, then she can assume that everything is okay. You from a chav into the shita of the Shulchan Aruch, we'll get to down the road, which says when a couple gets married, she's supposed to check three times, precisely for this reason. Not everyone agrees to that, we'll come to that later, but just you put a few things together, came up with an interesting, you know, without any knowledge, you came up to a pshah, which might be a pshah of a chav, which we'll get to later on. Okay. Now, what we've studiously avoided at this point is what is Hargosha? What is Hargosha? Well, let me talk about one prat of Hargosha now. We already saw the Rambam talk about this Dazeya Gufa, her body shakes. Which means that sometimes when a woman has damage, she has like, we have a fever sometimes, or chills, a little ziazua, trembling, sometimes accompanies Hargosha Tzam. It's a fact. And sometimes accompanies Hargosha Tzam, even today. There's a fundamental controversy, again, as far as something which is called Zivas Dover Olam, flow of something which is liquid, which is wet. Is that considered Hargosha or not? It's big machlokes. Again, who are the main people that we know, that we always talk about as being in the opposite corner of this issue, are the Sukkah Dorli Oilam, the Noda Behuda on one side, and the Chasam Sofer on the other side. This doesn't mean that it started and it ended. But that's how it's known in the Oilam Atar. The Machloek is Noda Behuda, Chasam Sofer. Noda Behuda said, Hargosha Zivas of Allah is Hargosha, and the Chasam Sofer said, it's absolutely not Hargosha. Definitely not. The Sidrei Tara, in that same paragraph I just referred you to, you look it up please, Kuf Tzadik Tzad Nalat, proves from our Gemara that Zivas Dov Olam is not a Hargosha. It's not. How do you see? What we just read before. The Gemara says, Isha Shihai Osa Tzurachea, Ross Adam, etc. Echidam, Idi Hargosha Adram, Helad Lo Hargosha. Practice it right now. Lo Hargosha? What do you mean Lo Hargosha? If Zivas Dover Olam is a Hargosha, how is it shayach to have Hargosha Tmei Raglayim and say Lo Hargosha? You see, Klar says the Sidrei Tara from the Gemara that Zivas Dover Olam is not a Hargosha. Adka. Nu? I'm waiting for you to be most of one the Kudana. Yes? We'll come to that later. We'll get to later. Believe that Noda Behuda didn't make any distinction. We're talking about the Chavos Das. We'll come to that later. But I want you to come to number two. What's number two? Oh. Seems the Sidrei Tara is the Shittos. What about the Shittos? In this bringing this right is the Shittos. What about the Shittos? The Sidrei Tara was a strong opponent of the Ran. So we don't pass like the Ran. So you don't pass like the Ran, then you have a combination argosha, if you will. Suffolk argosha, combination argosha. Is it yes argosha or is it not argosha? The Ran says no, and the Sidrei Tara says yes. You with me now? Let's figure this thing out. You have argosha, it's very lying. If Zivas Davala is a Hargosha, it's impossible to speak of a Hargosha Tmerag Lion without what we call Halakhli Hargosha. Because the minute this Merag Lion is a double laugh, so what do you mean he's a low Hargosha? It's impossible. That's what Tidre Tara is right. If one should hold like the Ran, what does the Ran say? Hargosha is only what, when Hargosha is done, which the Torah speaks about, B'Sorah, Shatakash, B'Sorah. It's only a Hargosha's Dhamma, there's nothing else. There's no Shvir, and there's no Chaticha, and there's no Lecha, and there's no Merag Lion. The minute you mix in one of the four external factors, that's not called Hargosha. So therefore, according to the Ran, the Sidrei Tara's Raya, is it a good Raya or not? No Raya whatsoever. You with me? Let me repeat one more time. The Sidrei Tara brings the Raya from Al Gemara, Raya Barura, he says, that Hargosha Zivas Davalach is Lakshmi Hargosha. Not called Hargosha. Because the Hargomar speaks about the possibility of Merag Lion without Hargosha. And Merag Lion, by definition, is Zivas Davalach. So the Sidrei Tara says that I'm bringing this, he says on the Farish. Yes, I'm bringing this Raya only because I think the Ran is wrong. If the Ran wants to be right, then the Raya is no Raya. Why is the Raya no Raya? So if the Ran is right, then what? Maybe she just has a flow, a tiny flow. She feels a little bitra coming out. And she sees it's down there, and there's nothing else there. Maybe that would be Hargosha's alright. I do Gemara's over here that she's had Merag Lion and it's considered low Hargosha. No, it's low Hargosha. Why? Because that Zivas Davalach is attributed to what in our case? Attributed to what? To the Merag Lion. Just the Ran attributed to the Lecha, to the Shvir, and the Shav Yaakov attributed to the Lecha, so the Gemara attributed to the Merag Lion. And therefore, this maybe, since Zivas Davalach, if it's only Dam and nothing else liquid is to be seen, would be considered Hargosha Daraisa. But if it's something else liquid coming out, then it would not be Hargosha Daraisa. So there's no Raya against another Yehuda from our Gemara. Yeah.
Well, probably you won't apply the Ran to the Merag Lion because the Gemara says in certain cases.
So, why do you say that?
Because then
what
should she ever be coming?
She has Agosha's Ziazua. It's Dazagufa. The Agosha, she's trembling. Whatever Agosha is defined as. Niftak Piyamak, whatever Agosha is. We're not discussing whether Ziva Zavalach itself constitutes Agosha. So the Sidrei Tara brings a Raya Barura from our Gemara that it's not. Because the Gemara can speak about Merag Lion without Hargosha. So that I'm saying no. That's not my chiddush. The Ran himself says so. And the Sidrei Tara himself says so. He says like this. Here. Mao Hargosha. He says, he talks about Ziva Sarvalah. He says, Lo Mikri Hargosha. How can there be Meraglayim without a Hargosha? So the Sidrei Tara suggests. Yeah, hold on. Ela ef shalomar the shani hocha the kaven shabai merag lion the talina nagosha ziva stava lach the merag lion below the dam nido umishamachilah mikri agosha avo the alma yesh loma the zem mikri nami agosha the mashem agesh it's atva ziva stava lach the gufa ach the fi mashem kastav di vi ochach di liel the what that the rod is wrong zelesa and therefore the riot is a good riot so he himself said that the riot is bringing to the Chassam Sofer against whom? Against another Yehuda is only a riot if you hold what against the Ran. don't like the Ran is all right. He himself says so. This is saying what the Tzvi Taurus is telling us over here. Well, we don't know exactly for sure. What happens? We're not sure what's happening over here. We see that she spelled a double lach, and now she sees that, and she also had Mary and Ryan. So it's an unclear situation.
No, you referred before that more implied that you can have Mary and Ryan, and that would have to
but it would not. What it says? But the Merag line came out. That was the case of the mission. And yet there's no argosh, no halachic argosh. That implies that Zivot of Halach is not halachic argosh. Quite clear. Unless it's saying with the rod term. Okay? Yes.
Even the second shot of the Gola Kumra, doesn't that specifically say that any time she feels a double lach coming from her, we have to assume perhaps, even though she might not think so, that it is dam?
No, they're two separate questions. One is, if you have a hargosha which is ambiguous, and two is, what is hargosha? Some folks say zivas double lach simply is not called hargosha whatsoever. That is not what the Torah meant by hargosha. Any zivas double lach. We don't know what the word hargosha means. It's not clear in the Gemara. Oh. Another question which was raised was the link to the Chavazah. Chavazah says, he's had a class of Lachon get out of the riot. Chavazah says that if even as soon as Ziva Savalach is considered Argosha, that's only when the Savalach comes, is felt bifnim, the omen. But if the Savalach is only felt Bachutz, then that doesn't count. And what's his logic? His logic is very, very powerful. Look, the Pesuk says that Dan Ki is over with sorrow. That's what Argosha means. What does it mean? When a woman sees Dam, she becomes Tameya, and she has Argosha when she sees the Dam. This Argosha, when she sees the Dam, is Metameya. What if she'll see Dam today and have Argosha tomorrow? That's unrelated. Argosha tomorrow's Argosha can't retroactively be Metameya the Dam she saw today. It's ridiculous. So it says the Chavas Dam, so why only today and tomorrow? Even a little bit later. The Hargosha must be there at the moment that the Dam is Metameya. And we mentioned last year, when is the Dam Metameya? When? When it's Yotzmi Bayis HaPnim and the Bayis HaChitza, but even though it's not visible outside yet. And we spoke about that? So the Chavazah says, assuming that Hargosha is even the Malach of Shmei Hargosha, it's only that Hargosha is felt Bifnim. When the Dam is coming out of the Bayis HaPnim into the Bayis HaChitza, that, at that moment, if something is felt at that time, that's when the Hargosha of Ziva Savalach would count. But idea Hargosha Ziva Savalach Bachutz would not count. That's what we'll say, that knocks off the Raya. Why? Because Merag Laim is Ziva Savalach, true. But the Merag Laim is relatively, the neck of Merag Laim is relatively, it's relatively further to the outside of the Gufa Ishi. And therefore, if this Hagosha Ziva Savalach of Merag Laim, that's not called Lav Shmei Hagosha, Agamara says. But maybe if you feel Ziva Savalach all the way in, maybe that would be considered Hagosha. So if you hold the Chavazah, sure, this is going to be doing the Chassam Sofer, then it's not right at all from Agamara. That's what you mentioned, Matthew. That's correct. That's what Achronim all say, Lalo. That's what Achronim all say. Oh. We'll have to stop here. I believe that is the shot which we have in Sugya on the line of the base. And I draw a very stark contrast to the two sheep, total extreme opposition to one another. As is often the case, you have to sit down and think about it some more, you have to realize that not quite as black and white as it seems. Let me explain what I mean by that. The Gemara discusses cases on the Zion of the Bay, but we're not sure exactly what the Hargosha is. Is the Hargosha Tam, or the Hargosha something else? Aid, or Merag Laim, or Shamish. So we explained yesterday a possibility that it's a Sufik Hargosha, and the question is, assuming that the existence of the Zeret HaKaz of the Dam below Kesem, which the Sivrei Tara says based on the Mishnah and the Kesem of Beis, and the special din of Bam Zavada below Bam Zavada, that kind of a din. So then the question would be, Does it apply only to a doubt whether the dam comes from the mokar or does not come from the mokar, or would it even extend to a doubt whether there is a gosha or not? And that's a very fundamental shaila. It's going to be a nakamina. Every single case of suffix agosha, is it a suffix, is it a raisa, or is it not a raisa? Because our Alma, as we said on the base, is still talking only about the raises. So that would be the key factor in the entire suit. So a couple of questions that with this shot are apparent. Number one, if one is to assume that whenever there's a possibility of Hagosha's dam or Hagosha's aid, that according to pshat number one, which is called the pasuk pshat, will say dam the lo kesem, will say there's no, that the rights we do not consider to be a Hagosha, so why should it ever be tamei? For example, in the case of aid, the simplest case, says, we all love the Hagosha, only has two narrow lines, love the Hagosha. The aim of Hagosha's aid, I love. The mashuch v'adai miguf also, ogol is tor. So by mashuch it's tameh, and by ogol is tor. The question can be raised, why by mashuch does it tameh? If we're saying that it's about such, what do you mean? The only the agash she thought it was done. The aim of what we could possibly suggest is agash is aid. So we could suggest that really the agash came from the aid is not from the dam. That she has any agash is aid, for example. And we assume that maybe she made a mistake. And maybe, therefore, what is it? It's really a Hagosha's dam. And if you say, therefore, Sveika, the rice of Lukumra, so why is Ogul Tor? Why is Ogul Tor? Sveika, the rice of Lukumra. So what's the kid of this Ogul? So this leads us to a modification that we said yesterday. Matter of so. So, the halacha is that if a woman sees dam, she is tamei. What does the word tamei mean? Very strange term to use. We're not learning tuma. We're learning halacha lamaisa. We don't have tuma l'tara nowadays. So, the halacha is that if a woman sees dam, she is tamei. What does the word tamei mean? Very strange term to use. We're not learning tuma. We're learning halacha lamaisa. We don't have tuma l'tara nowadays. As a matter of fact, the word tamei is not used loosely. It's used very advisedly because, as you probably are aware, the status of nida and zava is relevant not only as far as the miscibility of a woman to have a relationship with a husband, which is what we're going to be discussing this summer, but additionally, and actually that's found first in the Torah, the Indian of Tumah V'Tahara, the woman who is in a state of a nida or zava, has a tumah, which is something like what we call tumah meis, a tumah v'tahara, some of these tumahs we know about in the Chumash, which we don't associate with husband and wife, as I'm doing husband and wife. Just tumas meis. Now we're all tumas meis because we have no paraduma. Right? The various tumas. So nida zav is tumeya. So when the Mishnah used the word tumeya, what it means is that she is tumeya in the sense that if she'll touch food, the food will become tumeya. By and large, we assume that her status as far as tumah is concerned, her status as far as Heter Lebaila is concerned, is identical. Whenever she's Tmeya, she's Asura. Whenever she's Tahora, she's Mutera. It's possible there are certain distinctions, which I'm not ready to go into right now. But let's assume for the moment that they're identical. So if it's Tmeya, as far as we're concerned, it also means it's Asura. We shall see later that the Dronfa goes too far to see that the relationship between the Tumah and the Isur is a significant one. And that the certain dinim which the Rabbana made, keeping in mind the fact that this relationship does exist between the Tumah Nida and the Isur Nida. Okay? I want to say, if you have a question, don't hesitate to raise your hand. Please. All right, so we have a case of Kesem leading to Tumah and to Isur. I should also say, by way of introduction, that we're not going to discuss now at all how the woman, once she becomes Tumea, gets out of the status of Tumah. Whether she has to go to the mikveh, whether she has to wait 7 clean days, whether she has to do bedikas, it's later. But now we're discussing how you get in. Later we'll discuss how one gets out of the status of Tumah. And therefore, as a result, the words Lida, Zava, it's all the same to us right now. It's a question of when she becomes Tumea and Asura Labal. Now the Gemara says like this. Amar Shmuel, Vodka Karka Olam V'yoshma Aleha U'matza Adam Aleha Tahora. A woman who was sitting near the floor, and before she sat down, she checked to make sure that the floor is totally clean. It doesn't have to be a floor. It could be anything. It could be a chair. It could be anything in the world. And then she gets up and she sees Dam. Tahora. She is Tahora. Shanema, Tibsara, the pasuk in Vayikra talks about the Dam Bibsara. Achetagish Bibsara. That she has to feel the Yitzias Adam Bibsara. Now, this is a remarkable kiddush of Shmuel. That when we say that a woman who sees Dam, the Dam leaves her body, renders her a nida or a zava, is a tremendous condition which the Torah imposes. The Torah says that on a d'oraisa level, there cannot be any tumah or any isur without that which we call hargosha. What does hargosha mean? Hargosha means she feels it. What exactly is that woman? How does it mean she feels it? Well, what do the words mean? So we'll be discussing shortly what this means. It's not going to be the one word answer. In Hebrew it's one word, hagosh. That's the term which is used by the puzzle. Is it with hagosh or without hagosh? Then you can spend hours discussing what hagosh is. But conceptually, at least, at the beginning you want to know, is it im hagosh or beli hagosh? Here's what Shmuel says. Now presumably we're referring to a case where she knows 100% that the dam came from her body. And not only that, when we say her body, it's important to know, we come to it as the sugya unfolds, that when we say that an isha who sees dam is tmeya nida, obviously we don't mean she cuts a finger. Right? That's what it's going to explain certain things. That it means dam, which comes min hamokor. Dam min hamokor, the English word for mokor is uterus. Now I'm not going to go into all the biology, maybe you learned it in high school, maybe you did, maybe in college. Medical school, but basically it means is that a woman, the uterus is what's called the Beis HaRechem, or the Beis HaVlad. When a woman becomes pregnant, that's where the child is carried, okay? And ordinarily, there is a buildup. By the time the woman reaches approximately 12 years old, there's a buildup based upon hormones. I'm not going to go into the details of the estrogen and the progesterone and all the other hormones which you may have learned about in school. Although this may be relevant in our future discussions. Yeah, if you don't know the facts, you can't know the din. The buildup of the lining, if the right word is commonly used. If you have a better word for something, let me know, because you're maybe a bigger maven than me in these matters. The lining, which is called, it builds up, and with the hormonal cycle, as a general rule, which is approximately once every month, which is a halakhic term, not only a medical term, but they're called onabananis, which we'll discuss down the road, approximately once a month, assuming she does not become pregnant, or married, or she doesn't become pregnant, whatever the case may be, the lining begins to disintegrate in effect, and when the lining begins to disintegrate, the dam of this lining, which is built up, leaves the body, leaves the uterus through a canal, which is called the cervical canal. It's the cervix, that's the entrance into the uterus. Okay? This is sometimes, we'll see later, called the Pi HaMakor. Maybe a halakhic term sometimes, maybe it may even be called something called Bein HaShinayim. It's a euphemism of Chazal. I'm throwing these terms out of you, so in case you see them somewhere, you'll know approximately what they are. It may not be exactly what they are. And then it exits the body through the vaginal tract, which is called by the Poskim, the prosdor, found in other contexts as well. But that's what it means, is an entrance to a pathway to a more inner chamber. In a certain way, Chazal is speaking in the Lashon Nekiya, referring to that area of the body as the prosdor. Now, halakhically, the woman becomes Tomea Midoraisa and Asura Midoraisa even before the dam is actually visible to the outside, in the outside world. This could be, you can imagine, this was a tremendous problem. That's the first mission in the Masechta. Start to talk about that. Because part of the woman is Tomea before she realizes it. And what happens if she was touching Paros at that time? Because one can imagine a much worse scenario. What happens if she had marital relations with a husband at that time? That's a big problem. That's what we'll be discussing down the road, certain precautions which the Chazal took for this reason. Okay. So this, when we say dam, know where the dam is coming from. So we say, Keneged Beis HaTurfa, that's another euphemism of the Chazal, which means it's Keneged the vaginal opening. And if it's not near that area, we can assume that it's come from the vaginal tract, and therefore very likely came from the uterus, and therefore it's Dam Nida, and therefore the woman becomes Tamea and Asura Labala. Is that clear? Okay. They said before, from Shmuel we get the impression that even if we know for a fact 100% that the dam is dam nida, came from an amokar, still she is tahora if there is no hargosha. Of course, one can imagine that it's not so clear that the dam is min hamokar. Even if it is clear that the dam is migufa isha, it comes somewhere from her body, like in the case of the Gemara. She sits down, there's nothing else there, there's no bugs and no birds and no, there's nothing around, but she gets up and she sees dam, and she knows for 100% that it came from her body. It's still possible, which we'll be discussing later, that's what we call dam in hatzdodim. Let's say, for example, she has a wound, a vaginal wound, which is a very common thing. She has a cut, or she had a baby, and she has stitches, or she had some kind of procedure done. A million things could possibly happen. So it's possible the dam comes from there, and it's not dam nida, even though it's from her body. It's what we call dam maka. A dam maka from a wound is the dam is tar, even though it happens to be in that particular part of the body. The same as if she cut her finger, it's also a dam maka. It's the halacha. So, but even assuming we knew for 100% fact, which is possible, that the dam came min hamokar, it's medically ascertained. The dam came min hamokar, but still. It is no hargasha. Shmuel tells us that she is tahora midoraisa. Is she tahora midrabbana? Shmuel didn't say anything. Shmuel only told us that she's tahora midoraisa. You have a question? No. That is not the case. Shmuel seems to be telling us that even if we know that it's dam nida, as long as it's no hargasha, she is tahora midoraisa. Once again, Shmuel does not tell us she tahora the rabbana, or maybe the rabbana said she's tamea even without any hargosh. This Shmuel did not comment on directly, and we're going to discuss this later on. Of course, one can imagine the opposite kind of a situation, namely, where there is a possibility of a hargasha. We'll see later, depending on what the hargasha is. But we're not 100% sure if the dam is, in fact, dam nida, dam min hamokor, or not. Until now we've been discussing what kind of a case. We know for a fact that dam is dam min hamokor, dam nida, but it's b'li hargasha. It doesn't feel anything. Let me, halacha l'maaseh, if I may interject, one fairly safe way to know that there was no hargasha is, And she didn't know anything about it until she saw it on the on a body or on underwear or something like that. So that's a common way to cut through a lot of the chumras and the coolness of the achronim. By asking a question when it comes up with a maisa. The woman said, well, I saw something, I discovered something on an undergarment, which is the most common thing, of course, nowadays. So my first question is, well, did you know anything about it? Did you have any inkling until it was on the undergarment, until you saw it there? If the answer is no, then you know that it's no hargasha. Because no matter what, how you define hargasha, she didn't have it. Oh, well, this guy will come to a little bit later. The hargasha of Allah Adas. We'll come to that later. It's already a few steps ahead. We're not up to that yet. Okay. Now, it's a possibility of the opposite case, where there's a possibility that there was hargasha, or maybe even a definite part of some hargasha, depending on what hargasha is, but we're not sure whether, in fact, the dam is dam nida or not. Maybe the dam comes from some kind of a wound. I should add to you now, though I don't want to get you involved in complications, that's really the next sheet, that it's even possible, under certain conditions which we're going to have to define later on, that the dam is from the mokor, physically the dam starts from the comes from the uterus, and might still be considered a dam mata. See, I, for simplicity's sake, I kept talking about the dam in hatzdodim, some kind of vaginal irritation or something like that. But we'll see from the Gemaras and the poskim, there can even be dam which physically comes from the uterus, which is still labeled by the halacha as dam mata. Of course, the question would be a very obvious one. If it comes from the uterus and it's still dam maka, how do you halakhically distinguish between dam maka min hamokor and dam nida? So of course, one can give a simplistic answer. Well, if it's once a month, then it's dam nida. Otherwise, not. That's a simplistic answer. It's an erroneous answer, as you can imagine. In general, it's right, but it's not exactly right. We'll have to discuss it down the road. But let's say you have something like that. You're not sure, is this dam Mako or the dam nida? Hagosha might even exist as a possibility. So what's the halacha? So ordinarily I would have said there's no doubt about it. It's a famous rule. World renowned rule which goes transcends nida. It stands to call a Torah Kula. What's that called? What's it called? Sveika Zaraisa Lachumra. That's the rule I would have employed. We're not sure. We're not sure if it's dam nida or is it not dam nida. We're not sure. Right? And there's certainly a possibility of it being a Zaraisa because it may have been a Hagosha. We'd have to use the rule of Sveika Daraisa Lechumra. Sveika Daraisa Lechumra. That's what one would have said. And some actually do say that. However, there is a possibility that we have an exception over here. You may be aware of the fact that there are certain areas of the Torah where the Torah makes an explicit exception to the rule and says that, although ordinarily Sveika Daraisa Lechumra, here, the Torah says, Sveika Daraisa Lekula. What's the most common thing that comes to mind?
Mamzer.
Sorry? Mamzer. We learned about the talks of Kiddushin. But Mamzer Vadai, below Mamzer Sovik, which according to most shows an exception. Not going to the Rambam sheet, that's the rule. The Shav Shemites is notwithstanding. But that's just an aside. It's possible that we have, Din of Nida might be a similar exception. And the source of this would be a Mishnah on the next page, Nun Chesem and Beis. On Nun Chesem and Beis, which is the next lot of Baruch Mekomis, on Nun Chesem and Beis, the Gemara tells us some more details about what we call Tliya. Tliya means, well, if we're not sure if the Chesem, the spot, the stain, is from her body, maybe it's from somewhere else, so we assume it's from somewhere else. And they give details. And if it's a question that's coming from a bug, don't forget, there was a tremendous degree of insects, and the personal hygiene was not very modern in the olden times. It was a serious problem. So they didn't have running water, what can I tell you? They couldn't wash the bathers often. There were serious problems of bugs. So the Gemara, the Mishnah gives us a certain amount, a quantitative figure. As ad kigris shall pull, which the Pesukim says about the size of a dime or a penny, that until that she sees a little bit of dam, we can assume that it came from a makolas, from a bug. Beyond that, we cannot attribute it to a bug. They didn't have such big bugs beyond that that size. Okay? Then it says, she has a wound, so she can be tolan in the womb. All right. So then everyone tells a story. The Mishnah tells a story. Moses Maisa and Chesed Beis in the Mishnah. Maisa b'Yishachah Shabbos Lefnei Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo Ra'isi Kesem. Got a shalosh here, Kesem. Amar lo Shema Makar Sabich. Maybe you have a wound. Amar lo Hen. I had a wound. V'chaisa, and the wound is healed. Amar lo Shema Yechol Li Golal Hol Tidan. Maybe you can become reopened. Amar lo Hen. Yeah. The Tiyar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said she is Tahor. Raw Talmida Mistaklim Zeba Zeh. Rabbi Akiva saw his students looking funny. Amalem ma dava kasha beinechem. What's bothering you so much? Shalom amru chachamim hadava lahachmer lahakal shenema. The isha kisiye zava dam yiye zava bibsara. Dam velo kesem. Period. The word bibsara should be familiar to you. That's the same word bibsara which Shmuel quoted in the previous staff. And we, based on that word, he required hargosh. Because there's no hargosh, there's no din of tumas neither. But that's not what Rabbi Akiva said. Rabbi Akiva gave a long pasuk. Isha kiya zam zava dam yiya zom b'sara dam v'lo kesem. He made it drasha based on a different word. Not in the word b'sara, but in the word dam, which is understood to mean dam v'lo kesem. What does that mean? So the Sidrei Tara, and a very famous Yisod, we'll get to later in detail, but I wanted to tell you now at the beginning. The Sidrei Tara is in the Chidush Niflo. He says, in fact, there are two different drushas, two different separate dinim d'oraisa, which are derived from two parts of the same pasuk. One is, as we said earlier, when you require hargosha. If there's no hargosha, there could be no nida d'oraisa. That's Shmuel's din. The second is Rabbi Akiva's din of dam v'lo kesem. In this context, the word kesem does not mean there was no argosha. Rather, it means that we're not sure if the dam came from the dam nida or dam mati. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva was mati this woman. He didn't even ask her, was there argosha or not. He didn't ask her that. He never asked. We don't probably tell the whole story. The whole dialogue is here, unedited version of the dialogue of Rabbi Akiva and this lady. We don't find anyone that he asked her, did you have argosha or not? So the Sidrei Tara, he didn't ask her that question. Because even if there would be a possibility of Hagosha, she would still be Muteres. Why? Because of a Nudin. What's this Nudin called? Dam v'lo kesem. If I'm not mistaken, he himself likens it, the Sidrei Tara, to Mamzer Vadai v'lo Mamzer Sofer. The din has to be the Torah's Vadai, and if it's not, the Torah's Mechadish for us, then we go Lekula. Even though without the Chiddush, we would have said Tzeka D'Araisa Lekum. I'm sorry. On the Daraisa level. Of course, Rabbi Akiva was Vitara Allah Lamais. So we'll see later whether there's any kind of the Rabban. We'll have to discuss later where it came from, if it exists. We'll discuss that with the Shem later on.
Kesem is a subject because we don't know where it came from.
Exactly. We're not sure. Could be from a Maka, could be from a Zidama, neither. We're not sure. We're so far limiting ourselves to the Din of Daraisa. We haven't gotten down to the level of the Rabban, which we'll have to get to soon. But let's so far give a Shia on the Daraisa level. Yes. Yes, yes, definitely. That's a good question. So, what is the difference between dam and kesem? In other words, in Shmuel's halacha, we know the difference. The difference is, what is hargosha? We only have one problem, and that's what hargosha is, but that will take care of, we hope. But we know the difference is what is hargosha now. What's the difference between dam and kesem? The answer is, dam is vadai, and kesem is suffix. You may ask, what's vadai? How do we know for sure that dam nida? It's a good question. I would imagine if a woman has a regular period and she knows that the significant flow of dam, she knows for sure that's dam nida. Beyond that, what's a vada, I'm not willing to go right now. That would be a vada. Okay? In other cases, less than that might be already in the category of suffer. Okay. So far, so good. Again, the shears are at the right level, so we haven't gone down to the rabbonim yet. You say, well, what's the rabbonim? We haven't gone to that yet. Now go back to the Gemara on Nun Zayin Amud Beis. Back to the Gemara. Hi, Bitsara. Mi boile shemitama bifnim kibachutz. The image I referred to you a little bit earlier. that the woman is tmeya bifnin kibachutz. The Gemara here is not going to the exact point. Obviously, there has to be some point in the woman's body. When the dam goes beyond that point, that's it. She becomes tmeya. That's what the Gemara calls bifnin kibachutz. We're not exactly sure right now. We're never going to be fully sure. But we're not discussing right now where that point is. Presumably, it would be when the dam leaves the makor, leaves the beis arechem, and some before it's visible. We'll see later. Some say when it leaves the head through the cervical canal, cervix, which is the entrance to the uterus. Some say a little bit further. From one puzzle, we only learn one bit. The first is how to learn Gemara. You have a puzzle, you only learn one bit from one puzzle. You can't learn two bits from the same puzzle. Otherwise, it's, the whole shas would fall apart. Yes? It's a good question. In Shmuel's case, Rabbi Kiva's din might not apply. But in Shmuel's case, there was dam with vadai came migufa. Rabbi Kiva's case, right. Well, again, in the drasha of Rabbi Akiva of dam velo kesem, I define the word kesem in that drasha of Rabbi Akiva as being a suffix. Okay, in that drasha, the word kesem means that. Okay, the word kesem in the first, second word of this parak, Haro kesem al basara, is not a lumdish term. It's just a fact. It means a snake. That's what it means. It means as opposed to a rear. And one possible definition of that is, one is with Hargosh and one is without Hargosh. That's how Shmuel seems to be learning. Okay? I should add, by the way, the Sidrei Tara did not say these two drushes are coexistent. They both exist. And each one would work to knock it down from the Din Daraisa to a possible Drabbana to nothing. In other words, according to the Sidrei Tara, in order to be Tanea Daraisa, you have to have both. It has to be Be Hargosh and it has to be Vadai Migufa. If either is missing, there's no Din Daraisa, no Tuma Daraisa. Right? So Gemara is an obvious question. You can't learn two drushes from the same pasuk. That's impossible. And you really need the word b'tzara to teach you from time b'tznim. What's im kain the Gemara leim akra b'basar dam yedava b'basar my b'basara shmami no achatagish b'basara. There are two drushes. There's a word b'basar and the extra head. Back to Gemara. Vakati mi boyalei b'psara v'lo b'shvir v'lo b'chaticha. What does that mean? So you may notice that this same Gemara, this Maimer, is found earlier on Chafalah from the base, the Soros and Shatz point out. And there is discussing a situation of a woman who saw dam, but the dam did not come out just like that, you know, in a pure form, but it came out in the case over here of Shvir Chaticha. The Gemara talks about what we call Shofares. Basically what it means is the dam did not come out in a normal, regular way. Now, this could happen in a number of different ways that it's not normal. One is an instrument was inserted and the dam was found on an instrument. That's called a shofaris. Okay? When we talk here about a shvir chaticha, this means, I'm not going into the details now, this means it was some kind of a birth. Could be it was a miscarriage or something like that. Or could be whatever the details were, some object came out of the woman's body and on the object it was dam. Okay? So the Gemara says such dam is not metame midoraisa. And that's the right word bibsara. Dam, yes, the bibsara means the dam comes and flows along the basa, along the vaginal area, and then flows out. Not that it's coming out artificially, if you will, through the shofaris, or through some kind of different cause of shvir v'chatich. So how can you derive two things in the same basa? One of the most almost incredible answer. Namely, Tarti Shmamina. The setup. This guy was saying that it's impossible to derive two things from the same pasuk. And the reason I said it was because the Gemara does it in the next line. How can the Gemara turn around and derive two dinim from the same pasuk? The Gemara just got the same before. You can't do that. And you know how to come on to a nachat drasha, b'bosna, b'bsor. The obvious assumption of the sugi was you cannot derive two dinim from the same pasuk. The next line the Gemara turns around and says, guess what, fellas? Two dinim from the same pasuk. But Pilei Tloy, who had this kasha? Kedusha Aran had this kasha. Tremendous kasha. How can you derive two dinim from the same pasuk? It's a great kasha. I mean, it's just tremendous. It's not just like an opposite kasha from left field, you know, it could go right. This is a kasha which has to be reckoned with. It's a tremendous kasha. Well, the Ran has a very interesting answer. The Ran said it's only one drush. Only one drush, not two drush. It's only one drush. What is the nature of the drusha? The drusha is the b'sara at the time is the b'sara. There has to be a hargosha. However, the hargosha must be a hargosha of the dam, and not a hargosha of something else mixed in. If you have a hargosha, but the hargosha can be attributed to something else, then this hargosha is not the hargosha which the Torah spoke. When the Torah says, Dam Yia Zova Bibsara, what does the Torah mean? The Torah meant that Bibsara, the hargosha should be only from the Dam being Zav, from the blood flowing. Zova means the flow, that's what it means. When the hargosha is from the flow, related to the flow, then that's the hargosha. But hargosha which comes from some outside source, whatever it is, that's not the kind of hargosha which the Torah spoke was speaking about. Yes, Bob, one second. Okay, and we'll be discussing that a little bit later, the details. Baruch suggests, we'll see later in the Lashon of the Ran, and Lashon of the Akron, we'll make a big deal out of this Ran, that in the case of the Gemara, one could argue that in the case of Chaticha and Shvir, that anything which was felt came only from the Basar, from the Shvir and the Chaticha, and did not come from the Dam. I didn't want to go into that, partly because we haven't defined Hargosha yet. So it'd be very difficult to say only, and we haven't even gone into the details of what Hargosha is. Okay? Of course, you're making a very relevant point, Allah Halamais. I'll give you an example, a common Allah Halamais example. Shvir and a Chaticha doesn't happen every day, but there can be cases that happen literally on an everyday basis. Everyday basis. Some of you may know, studied maybe in school or elsewhere, that a very common thing which exists in women, especially today, I don't know if it exists so much with Zana Gemara, is what they call Hargoshas Lecha. Lecha can be literally means liquid, and it's also used to as a Hebrew term for mucus or other discharges. You may have seen already in some of the Maramakomas that there are women who have this on a regular basis. They have discharges, mucus, lecha levano, it's called white discharges, or other color discharges, which are common. They're so common that if you go to a doctor, the doctor says nothing, it's not a problem, it's not even a medical problem. Now, a case you may have seen referred to already is a woman who has just discharged on a regular basis, just ignores them. Discharged, nothing, it has no significance. All of a sudden, in the middle of one of these discharges, there's a tiny drop of red. Suddenly you have a halachic problem. If the discharge leads to hargosha, for argument's sake, I don't want to go into hargosha right now. If the discharge causes a kind of hargosha, so as long as it's only a white discharge, so what? Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. But if there is a drop of red, do we say that she is a Tumeya Midoraisa? Because she has both. She has Dam Meha Mokor. These discharges, the doctor already said, come from the uterus. So we know the whole thing came from the uterus. It's Dam Vada Meha Mokor. And there is Argosha, whatever Argosha means. She does feel it with this Lecha, with this mucus. And therefore she's Tumeya Midoraisa. Or should we say no? This hargosha comes because of the lecha, not because of the dam. And therefore, it's dam b'li hagosha. Because the dam itself does not precipitate the hagosha. She doesn't feel the dam. She's feeling the lecha. This is a very common shah to this day. And the resolution of this question might depend on A, whether the Ran is accepted or rejected, and B, what's Pshat in the Ran. Is it the way I phrase it, is it the way Baruch phrased it, or maybe some other phraseology? It's going to be very critical in determining the status of this shadow. It's a very, very common shadow. Yes? I don't believe so, because the Chesed Mitzvah only means down below Kesem, if you're not sure if the dam came from the Mokar or not. But here, we know for a fact that the dam came from the Mokar, because the dam is mixed in with the mucus. And the mucus, she went to a doctor. The doctor said it comes from the uterine discharge, but it's nothing. Okay, if she went to a doctor, there is no mark in the Mokar. Let's go to the... you're making a very good point in the sense that it's a small amount of dam, the post can sometimes say it's a small amount, there's maybe a greater chance came from elsewhere, from a mako and not another. Similarly, in a similar vein, some posts can say if it's a small amount, we consider it not to be coming by Hargosha if we're not sure. This volume does not play a role conceptually, but it does play a role practically. Follow me? Because the Daraisa, even the tiniest mashu, is the same as the regular flow. But practically speaking, in determining whether it's considered a Vados min HaMokor, or whether it's considered a Hargosha, if we're not sure that it was Hargosha, then the volume does play a role on something on a practical, pragmatic level. That's to be kept in mind very carefully. Okay. So this is how the Ran resolves the question. Let's repeat one more time. The question was, we just said before, mentioned, that you can't derive two dinim from the same pasuk. The Gemara turns around and does exactly that. It derives two dinim from Bipsara, an extra hay. One, they require hargosha, and two, that shvir and chaticha don't count. So the Ran answers, no, shvir and chaticha don't count because there's no hargosha. What does that mean, is hargosha? There is hargosha, but that hargosha doesn't count. Why not? That hargosha is attributed to the shvir and to the chaticha. Get the details of the both. We haven't gotten to that right now. But before I end this year, which is going to end in a few minutes, I want to give you the next topic, which is going to have to do with the next few lines of Gemara, which we have to discuss with Mr. Shimon next week. Okay? The Gemara is like this. Toshma. Ha'isha shi osa t'rochel. Go to the bathroom. The Ross Adam. Common case. A complicated discussion of the biology, which way the dam runs. I'm not going to go into the biology right now. If she feels Yoshevis HaMai Tahoro, why should she tell her? She felt. Elala Blo Agusha. Because Tony Omedit Tmeh. The Kash against Shmuel. Our answer is, here's the critical discussion. Lo Olam the Agusha. The Amor Hargoshes Meir Aglayim Havoy. Stop right over here. So the Gemara is going to say the same thing for Aid and for Tashmish down the road. It's a very, very difficult piece of Gemara. Everything hangs on this piece. Hey, let's shot this Gemara. What does the Gemara mean? The Gemara says a possible confusion over here. So the woman is not sure whether there's Hargosha or whether there's no Hargosha. But one can understand this Gemara in two very different ways. There's what's called the Pashas of Shat. The Pasuk called it. The Pasuk called the Pashat of Shah. Which way is that? Which way is the Pashat of Shah? That she felt the Argusha, no? That's the literally, she felt. What do you mean she felt? She felt whatever, it's very hard to go going in a vacuum here. She felt that mysterious Argusha which you haven't defined yet, which qualifies as Argusha is not needed. She felt. But maybe she made a mistake. What she saw was a Dam Argusha of Nida, Dam Nida, was really something else. The Hargosh is Meir Aglayim, or Hargosh is Eid, or Hargosh is Kashmish. But when she comes to the Rav to ask him the challenge, she says, I did feel that. I had Hargosh is that. And we are going to be lenient and say, no,
That Hagosha which she has, maybe it wasn't Hagosha's dam, maybe it was Hagosha's Neraglayim, Bediko, or Tashmish. That's the Potsim called the Potsim Shat in the Gemara. After all, the Gemara says the Olam, the Argosha. And Argosha, what does the word Targish mean in our Sugya from the very beginning? In the first line already, who's the Targish? What does that mean? The Hagosha of Damnida. So when she says the Argosha, she thinks that she had a Hagosha's Damnida. And we're now trying to make coolers by saying, no, we're going to say Ema, we're going to say, which really Hagosha's Meraglai. That's a push of Shad in the Gemara. And there are, in fact, Rishonim who learn this Shad. However, we'll see Mitzvah in the next year that there is a non-Pashat of Pshat. And the non-Pashat of Pshat is exactly the reverse. La'olam the Argusha means that what? Not that she had Argusha's dam. If she had Argusha's dam, we don't do any favors. We're not going to try to reinterpret the Argusha to mean Meraglayim or Eid or Tashmish. That's quite the contrary. She thinks that there is no Argusha's dam. She thinks that what? It's Hagosha's Meraglayim, or Hagosha's Eid, or Hagosha's Tashmish. But we think that what is it? That in reality, what is it? What? Hagosha's Dam. In that case, we are advocating the Chumrah. Right? We are saying that really she's making a mistake, and what she thinks is Hagosha's Meraglayim, Eid, or Tashmish, really Hagosha's Dam. According to the first cut, the reverse. She thinks it's Hagosha's Dam. And we think we're going to try to be makel for and say maybe it's really only Hagoshas, A, Tash, and Veraglam. The differences between the two halacha lamais, you can imagine, are tremendous. And it does have a bearing on the Chiddushi Aran with the various statings of the Chiddushi Aran. And the other we shall argue with the Ran, which we'll be all discussing down the road. So we see here, before we go any further in the Gemara, we've learned a few lines. And we can see we're at a crossroads of a very fundamental problem with tremendous halacha lemaaseh ramifications. Tomorrow, after the Zion of the base, the Indian of Hargosha, we mentioned that there are two very important interpretations here in the Gemara, which are very, very important halacha. Gemara mentions in three different times about the Hargosha, which we're not exactly sure what the Hargosha is. All on the Hargosha. The Emor, Hargosha Meraglayim, or Hargosha Eid, or Hargosha Shamus. Three different situations where there's a Hargosha, we're not sure if it's really a Hargosha of Dam, which would be a fulfillment of the Din D'oraita of the Zora, Asher Targash with Zora, which is the Din of D'oraita. Well, maybe not. Maybe the Hargosha is something else. What is it, something else? Maybe it's Meraglayim, maybe it's Eid, maybe it's Shamash. We mentioned that the two ways of learning Pshat in the Gemara. One way of learning Pshat in the Gemara is that the woman says the Argosha. The Argosha means she felt that. She thinks she felt that. After all, that's what the Achronim called the Perish HaPashim. So that's what Agusha mentioned before. Before, as we mentioned in the previous sugya, the previous part of the sugya. The Tzara HaShatagis the Tzara. So when it says later on in the sugya, the Agusha, there's no mention made of it, you change the chat in the word, the Agusha really means she thought she had Agusha's down. But we are going to say maybe not. Maybe the Hargosha, which she thought was Dam, is really Meraglayim or Eid or Shamash. This is called the Perish HaPashim. And the Achronim points out that it's mashed away from Rashi. Rashi says, the Argosha, the Shad Tzadika, okay, from Eid, the Shad Tzadika, the Ogu, more than later on, it depends if it's a circular or if it's a line. We'll go through the details probably later this year. Tar the Olam, the Emor Hagoshes Eid Havoy Shetziarasa Vidikas Eid. So the Achronim say that from the Pashim, the truth is not much of a whole stuff, because the Pashim and the Gemara is Mashim this way. But what is Rashi most? From Rashi, Mashim even a little bit more, that the Pshat is that we are going to interject, we're going to say that it's the Vidikas Eid, which causes the Tsar of the Hagosha.
What she thinks, that's what we're going to say. What she thinks is that it's a Hargosha's Daf. The Tiferes Yisrael, that's by Rabbi Yonatan and Abishin, perish on this Shulchan Aruch, on the very first opening line, Simon Kuf Begin with Simchat and Aleph, he claims that a similar inference we made from the Hagos Maimonides. The Hagos Maimonides says in Perek Dal in Hilchos Yisuri Biyah, talks about the problem of a woman who wants to do bedikas after Tashmish. See whether there's any dam on it. So he says it's not a good idea. Why? Kevin the Midaraisa Bina Chatagis Bibsura. You have to have a Hagosh. This woman had no Hagosh. This is the Hagos Maimonides, Perek Dalet, Yisrael, quotes from Marah. So what is he saying? The Yachat Tashmish, the woman should not do any Bedika because there's no shadow of any Daraisa whatsoever. There's no possibility of a Daraisa. Why? Because there was no Hargosha's Dam, and therefore it's only an idea of a pot. The maximum could be is that the Rabbanon of Ketan, and Ketan is in it as our Perek implies, a Roa Ketan. A Roa Ketan. She sees it, she sees a Ketan. You have an expression, what you won't see won't hurt you. But if she doesn't see a Ketan, there's no Tumah. So why should she go after the Patashim and look for Dam? She's looking for trouble. So the Maram says she should not, because there's no shadow of a Daraisa. Says the Rabbi Yonatan and Abishin. But if you're going to learn, then what? So whenever there's a Hargosha's Shamash, there might be what? Also a confusion with Hargosha's Dam, right? Which is, we'll see that the second shot in the Rishonim. So we should have to worry. Why is this woman who's checking it out of hand? There is a shot of it, all right. So maybe, what? Maybe there really was Hargosha. She didn't feel Dam, but she certainly felt Hargosha's Shamash in Tashma Shamita. But she felt Hargosha's Shamash. And therefore, she should have, there's a possibility of a Daraisa, but maybe there really was not. The fact that he said there's absolutely no possibility of any shadow of a Daraisa, even though there was a Tashma Shamita, indicates that we don't worry about this. If she feels down, then on the contrary, we're going to go to Kulo and say maybe it was not really down, with only Hagosha Shamash. But if she does not feel down, we're going to go and start saying, well, maybe this, when she felt the Shamash, was really Hagosha Shamash. This is the right which the Rebbe Rabbi Yonatan brings from the Hagos Maimini to the Perush HaPoshet. So the Perush HaPoshet is indicated a bit by Rashi and by the Hagos Maimini. However, Rabbi Yonatan points out that the Trumas HaDeshen disagrees. The Trumas HaDeshen learned what we call the part of the second shot. The Achron seems to be assuming. The Trumas HaDeshen talks about a situation of Roa Dam Machma Tashmish, a very serious halachic problem, which we'll get to later on. A woman who sees Dam, going ahead, we're going to say, it's Hargosha's Dam. Similarly, the quote from the Rambam. I mentioned the Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchos Yisurei Biya, Perek Tet Halacha Aleph, Ain Oisha Vistama Minatoro, the Nido of the Diva, I should target Vitira Dam, the Yeshi Vistora, Kamosha Biarnu. Big problem, where's Kamosha Biarnu? That phone up was long, where's Kamosha Biarnu? They looked through the first eight Prokim, they didn't find it anywhere, where's Kamosha Biarnu? It probably means somewhere in Parakeh. It's a little mystery, where exactly in Parakeh? Something in Parakeh, Allah, for Yuzayim, he talks about Tigris Gufa and Nisnaza, perhaps.